Welcome back. I am incredibly happy to be spending an entire hour with my friend Mark Smith. Not just my friend, he's a friend to the entire city of Chicago for what he has done for the city of Chicago. He created, ladies and gentlemen, something called the Poetry Slam, which he... Oh, my God, Mark, how many years at the Grind? It started at the Get Me High Lounge.
Started at the Get Me High.
That was 2 years.
Who remembers the Get Me High?
Yeah. Please call in with your memories of the Get Me High Lounge.
When nobody knew where Wicker Park was.
No, they know now. And then and Dave Gemmelo, I don't know, you convinced each other that this would be a great thing to have.
Yeah, I did just a Sunday afternoon gig at the Deja Vu before he bought the Green Mill.
Sure.
And it was a performance poetry thing, and he liked it. And then when he bought the Green Mill, I asked him for Sunday nights, and he said, okay.
Well, it's amazing. I got to know Mark when I wrote a magazine cover story more than 20 years ago because poetry was, at the time, exploding. And the reason it was exploding, to my mind, is the slam. I could read a million things, empowering people, great poets now. I'm going to read something. I'm going to read something because I like my own writing too.
Good. You know, that interview was probably one of the only interviews that had my private life in it all these years.
No, I know,
there's
Mark.
There's no private stuff about me.
I mean,
it was great.
Yeah. We sat in your small little bungalow in Berwyn with your daughter Sarah, who was there at the time, and you opened up. The only other time that's ever happened to me, in a strange time, was Tom Dreesen, the comic, you know, who went out with Sinatra. He told me the story of his not being his father's son, being the son of a guy who was a bar owner in Berwyn where did Tommy grow up? In the South Side. I just can't remember, but it's another one of those things. And that's something that you people understand, that when a writer and a subject get together and they trust each other, I think sometimes that kind of stuff can come on. Because it helped explain a lot about you, Mark. I mean, it really helped explain why you've helped nurture these people, because you were kind of in the same situation. You had you drank a little much, but who didn't? Who didn't at the time? But yeah, you really opened up. I'm looking for a great.
That was you, Rick.
Well, here's what the poet Sin Salach said about Poetry Slam, which was then, you know, about a decade old. She said, "The slam is empowering." She walked into one of Mark's first poetry slams in 1986. "I was changed after the first night. Though I didn't read anything, I quit my full-time job in advertising. The next day, I knew this was going to be the way to explore myself." There are many people out there, who don't realize what the slam, to my mind, and I saw it enough to know it empowered people.
Around the world.
Yeah.
People saw, you know, there's a guy, Ivy, who runs the slam in Montreal. And when I met him, he'd go, thank you, because he'd been a writer, he was a musician and a songwriter, did a little theater, but he didn't, you know, none of it clicked. And then he finds performance poetry through the slam, and like, this is it.
It really was, going back, it became a kind of phenomenon. You were, in a few years, or in about a decade, you were doing huge events at the Chicago Theater, right?
Right. That was a big, we forgot to sign our names on the back there.
I know.
But the crazy thing is we did it on a shoestring. Yeah. There was no grants to it. It was all based on if the audience shows up. And it did.
One of the things about you, that you have never been pragmatic about the slam. Never like, well, yes, you want to start a slam in Phoenix, Arizona? Give me $1,000. You were, if not grateful, you were sort of honored that people took this idea. Do you want to
That was a conscious thing. Dave Gemmelo and I stood out on the corner of Lawrence and Broadway, and he said, Well, you know, this is getting kind of big.
How can we make money at this?
No, he said, maybe you should trademark it. And I thought about it, and I said, No, because I was in business. I was a businessman. I don't like business.
Yeah, I know.
But I thought, you know, if we wanted to grow, let's give it away. And that's the tradition that's been passed on to everybody.
Yep.
They know that this is something to give away, not to hold on to. There are some people that have tried to exploit it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no, I know a number of them who tried to exploit it somehow. You once described it to me as, quote, a grab bag variety show which mixes together an open stage, special guests, musical and dramatic acts. The centerpiece was always the Slam, which was a, you know, I almost hated to call it a competition.
Yeah. It was a capper to the show. In the beginning years, it was never meant to be serious. The prize was Twinkies.
Exactly.
It was just a way to cap off an evening, because any competition is a dramatic, theater drama, you know.
I'm going to spend this whole hour with my friend Mark Kelly Smith, whose newest collection, thanks to the persistence of Mark Elleveld, who's also a very mutual friend, who gets things done.
So much he's done for people.
Oh, no kidding. Without asking for much, the new collection of Chicago poems is titled Ground Zero. It's edited by Mark. It has an introduction by my old friend Patricia Smith, who is one of the leading poets in this world.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this world. You're going to hear Mark read some poetry, and especially the one, My Old Man's Coat is one of the first poems you wrote, wasn't it? After you stopped drinking.
It's
a very powerful work. And it's so good that Mark even addresses in this YouTube clip I found, he addresses the fact that, oh my God, it's something like, I'm going to have to read, this is the poem I'm going to have to read every single place I go. Mark is here for the entire hour, so please stay tuned. We got to get a couple commercials in, and we'll be right back. I want to focus this hour I have with my friend Mark Smith on his new book, Ground Zero, a collection of poetry edited by Mark Elleveld, who is a wonderful, very giving person, and with an introduction by Patricia Smith, one of the leading poets in this country. I also, of course, like to quote myself in this piece that I wrote about Mark Smith. I don't think you can get it on the Tribune website, but I wrote that in 1951, the famous critic Mark Van Doren wrote that the poet's job is, quote, what the job of poets has always been, to think and feel as deeply as he can, and to assume the existence of persons who will be glad that he has done so.
Wow.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Mark and I were just talking about how the Poetry Slam is no longer at the Green Mill, but it is spread around the world. Here is a YouTube clip, I don't even know how long this is, of Mark somewhere, sometime, explaining a Poetry Slam. Let's give it a listen.
First of all, when they read the standardized what is slam poetry thing, they always say slam is competitive poetry. That's not how this all began. The first thing that we did, what we did in Chicago, what I did in Chicago, the first definition is slam is performance poetry, the remarriage of the art of performing with the art of writing. There are two art forms that put together create a wonderful experience. And the second definition of slam is a very entertaining, open, interactive poetry show, which is like tonight. And I have to salute you. This is when I come to a show like this, it's just exactly what the dream was. Can call it competitive poetry. It's just a game. Don't take it seriously, please.
Yeah. Man, does that sound like
you.
Boy, does that sound like you. And it was, for anybody who ever went to the Green Mill, poetry slams in other places are different, in other countries are different language about it, but the same. Mark, does it sometimes amaze you how your original idea infuses all these other places, even if the language is different? I remember.
What surprised, I kind of knew early on that it was going to spread across America, but I was a typical American. I had never been overseas. And what it did for me was that I could see when it did spread that the same things happen in Germany, in Brazil, in Mexico City, in Singapore, the same situation with all these different people. And what it really proves to me is that we are one species.
Wow.
And all these different conflicts that we have are, they're there from cultural, you eat different food and everything, but the ones that keep us in conflict are really perpetrated by, religions, institutions,
politics.
Governments, politics.
Yep.
And, that can be from all sides, basically, the slam proof to me that, we are all
in this together.
Right.
Well, when you would look out, you could even see that. You could sense that at the Green Mill some nights when you just looked at the crowd. I mean, there would be an accountant who grew up in Winnetka sitting next to a kid who went to, Marshall High School or something.
Right.
And there was you could almost feel, you probably much more than I, the common bond that was being built there.
Right, right. It was a spectrum of audience that you found nowhere else. In the late years, there'd be people coming back. I used to come here 25 years ago, and I'm so glad you're still doing it because they got, it's art.
Yeah.
But it did what art's supposed to do, go very deep into people, open them up, and then they just happen to be sitting in this nightclub together, and they don't just take it home. They say something to their friend. They make new friends. There's people that have formed bonds that have lasted years and years and years just from going to the Green Mill.
Well, no question. And you look at someone like Patricia Smith, who... though an unbelievably bright young person working at the Sun-Times, maybe even the Daily News as a copy editor, fetching things for people. Poetry gave her a life.
Oh,
Mark.
Absolutely.
A life where she is admired. No poet, unless you're, Rod McEwen, no poet is ever going to get rich, I don't think. But it can give you a life that it's financially stable, but also richer in so many other ways, and I think that happened to Pat.
Oh yeah, it totally opened the door for her to feel, I've got it, I've got something here, because you hear you got an audience.
Yeah.
You've got for a writer to have a live audience listen to their stuff, and then they react to it. It can build the confidence rather than just sending it off to some editor and hoping you're going to get a good. Get accepted or get a good rejection.
But also,
statement.
Where there's no personal interaction. There's no physical interaction. It's basically you type in
right.
to a computer what your story is, and you send it to somebody, and you never react. You never get a reaction. It's certainly not. You're never going to get from a computer a smile,
right?
Or you're never going to get a. This is horrible. Someone
right,
saying
right.
that you're just not going to get that personal feeling. How much are you writing these days?
Ooh, wow. You just threw a stab. You threw an arrow in me. Yeah.
Never mind. Never mind.
I keep at it.
Yeah.
But I'm writing for the Last Word Quintet.
This is
When I get, it's funny, I can be blocked for weeks and I get an assignment for them and 20 minutes later, I've got something written for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to devote the whole second half hour of this program to this, and you're going to hear some of it, too, to this show that's coming up on Saturday, August 14th at 1 p.m. It's going to be in person and live streaming, right?
Right.
which
that's why it's in the afternoon, so we can stream it to people, Europe at a decent
awake.
Hour.
It's at Martyrs, which is a great, if you've never been there, it's a great place, forward-thinking place at 3855 North Lincoln. And as Mark says, the afternoon time slot opens accessibility for attendees abroad and performances by internationally acclaimed slam poets. We're going to discuss what exactly the Last Word Quintet is, and you're going to hear some. How many times have you done this?
Oh, we've been out for 3 years now, playing from, you know, home salon things to Woodstock. We were just in Woodstock.
Wow.
And did a gig. Yeah, so we've been around for a while, yeah.
You know, this is another of the many things I miss in my misspent, ill-spent life. In putting together this book, which I'm sure Mark Elleveld, who said, I want to put together a book. You said, I don't want to do anything. Come on, I don't want to
do That's about
anything.
It.
Yeah, I know. I know you both pretty well. And Mark is such a wonderfully, gentlemanly, persuasive person.
Oh, yes.
So what did he...
And persistent.
And persistent. What was his pitch? Would you say, Mark, I want to do a collection, and you should do a collection, and we should do a collection?
Yeah, you know, first we thought, oh, I just want to have little... Remember those little chapbooks, the real small ones?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And a series of those. No, let's not do that. That's the, you know, and then next thing he was talking to Parnisha, the editor over
Northwestern,
there.
Northwestern, yeah.
And oh, I happen to have... She wants to do it. Oh, okay. Let's do it then.
How did you... Did you collaboratively pick the poems?
God, no, I did that.
Good.
And, you know, of course, I sent it to him to, you know, tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. Well, he wrote a lovely, lovely editor's introduction here, in which he also mentions Patricia Smith, who wrote has written a... It's called The Second Throat.
That introduction is just great.
Introduction. It's
talks about that night at the Chicago Theater when they were
the four of you guys
that you'd have the poetry show at the Chicago Theater, and then there we are, and
sold
the curtain
out.
Goes up on
sold
us.
Out.
Yeah.
Mark writes, to give you a little taste in this, Mark writes, this collection celebrates the poet and artist Mark Kelly Smith, who has presided over the most significant literary movement in Chicago in a generation. He then answers the question, who is Mark? He is Chicago, and he is so right about this, and I knew all these people. He is more Mike Royko than Studs Terkel, more Nelson Algren
wow.
than Saul Bellow. We will explore this book, and we will explore the upcoming Saturday show after you get the news. So stay tuned. The collection, welcome back. I'm with Mark Kelly Smith, the poet and the creator of the Poetry Slam, which is now in places across the globe. He is not doing a Poetry Slam, though it's hard. Mark, does it ever bug you that your name actually can't even be mentioned without saying Poetry Slam? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
A little bit because, yeah. You know, I've done so many other things.
Yes, you have.
But, you know, that's my fault because I'm not Mr. Promotion. I don't make the world, let the world know about the stuff I do.
That is true.
So it's my own fault.
That is true. Well, I'm telling you, on Saturday, that's this coming Saturday, August 14th at 1 p.m., in person and live streaming at Martyrs and from Martyrs. That's what live streaming is all about. Rick Gogan, technological wizard. 3855 North Lincoln. And it's a great club tavern. It is going to, 2 hour show opens with, Al Day. Al Day and I go way back.
Oh, good.
We were in a strange group together called the Romova Brothers for a while. But just tell me, what is this, Mark? What is happening?
So Al shows up at the Green Mill with Bob Long, who was one of the regular piano players with me, and did his, you know, his songs, his original songs, which are great with his Al Day voice. And I sat in with him and laid some poems on top of it and threaded it through. Well, that was fun. And then Bob said, let's do it again. And we formed a group with Brian Gephardt, great saxophone player, composer, and Doug Lofstrom, bass player, also a great composer who teaches at Columbia still, I think.
Wow.
And so we started to compose with the idea of me not being the lead anymore.
Right.
I'm more like an instrument in the band, and Al is kind of the lead with the
song.
And, you know, sometimes the song, it's just him, the song, and I take a chorus with some poem. But the big cool thing is when we interlace it, where I'm like comping with the poem into the song on it. It's really fun.
They have done this before, and they have a CD out, The Last Word Quintet Live at Studio 5, which is Steve Rashid's amazing. Well, you even have Steve's picture in here.
Yeah, right.
Because I want to hear it, and I think you people want to hear it, too. If Brett and Krista will be nice enough to do this, we'll play a little bit of Suicide Town.
Yeah, and this starts with a... For some reason, Al's poem, Suicide Town, I listened to it and I thought, oh, this Bertolt Brecht poem will fit to it. And it works. I don't really know why, but
all right, ladies
does.
And gentlemen, here you go.
Mounted on the fairground's magic horses, as among the children I pranced by, bucking hard as we raised our blissful faces to the marvelous, clear evening sky. All the passers-by just stood there laughing, and I heard them say, exactly as my mother had, oh, he's so different. He's so different. He's so very different from us. Been living way too long, looking for a little luck and desire. Been staring at the sun, keep on climbing but can't get any higher. In and out, up and down, been so loud I can't hear a sound. I've been miles from home, but I'm still around, looking for love in the suicide town. Looking for love in the suicide town. Seated among the cream of our society, as I outline my unusual views, they stare at me till I'm sweating slightly. They don't sweat. It's one of their taboos. I see them sitting there laughing, and I hear them say, exactly as my mother had. Oh, he's so different. He's so very different from us.
Been waiting on a mystery train, knowing it don't come around no more. Been staring, walking in the rain, wondering when to come back and settle the score. I've been in and out, up and down, been so loud I can't hear a sound. I've been miles from home, but I'm still around, looking for love in a suicide town. Looking for love in a suicide town. Oh! Can't you feel me coming? Can't you got nothing to lose.
When up to heaven I am one day fly, and they'll let me in. You'll see they will. I shall hear the blessed spirits cry, he's here, our cup of bliss to fill.
Up and down,
then they'll stare at me
loud again. He
burst out laughing, and I'll hear them say, exactly as my mother had.
Oh, he's so different.
Looking for love.
He's so different.
So very different from us.
Mark Smith, that is unbelievable.
It's fun. I
am beyond charmed and excited by that.
Well,
it's got to be incredible fun for you guys, too.
Amazing.
How often do you, that thing is also so tight. I know you did it in a recording studio.
Well, that was live.
That was live?
That was live. That was our first night out.
Wow. Well, I should know that because the title of the CD is The Last Word Quintet.
Yeah,
that was our first gig. Studio 5. Oh, my God. I'm going to call Steve Rashid tomorrow and talk to him about this. You're onto something here. Do you feel that?
Oh, yeah, we do. We do.
Well, it is taking place. We're going to take a commercial break, but I'm telling you now, it's taking place Saturday, 1 p.m. in person and live streaming. I would recommend the in-person show. Sin Salach is going to, and Sheila Donahue.
I'm trying to bring back people from the, you know, that made the slam what it is.
Yeah, people were the stars of the slam.
Yeah.
But it was Sin who told me when I wrote that piece, she goes, Rick, yeah, it had an effect on my life. I was there my first night there. I didn't perform, but I went into work the next day and quit my right. job. I mean, well, now that's pretty powerful. We will be back. Hold on. I'm trying to find out where. I guess, ladies and gentlemen, if you just go to martyrs.com, I'm pretty sure you will be able to find this and figure out how to pay for it. I suppose you could just show up. It's, you know, tickets are $15 at the door, $12 in advance. Live streaming, hello, is free.
Right.
Free.
Yeah, we'll ask for donations to pay for the production of it.
And I'm assuming if you and Mark Elleveld are on your game, you'll have copies of Ground Zero there?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
Mark doesn't like people to buy his books because his money is involved. But it is a grand, wonderful collection. My old friend and Mark's dear friend, Patricia Smith, it's one of the great introductions because it is.
She's a great writer.
She's a great writer, but it also, you know, it mentions another hero of mine, Gwendolyn Brooks, in a wonderful, wonderful way. You know, most people, you know, just revered Gwendolyn for some of the right reasons and many of the wrong reasons, too. We'll be back to conclude this show in a few minutes. If you just listen to that last piece, what do you call this?
I'm serious,
it's poetry. If you just listen to that last fun that we played you, that 6 minutes and 7 seconds of fun, undeniably fun. There's no question about it, but it is, and that was live. It just sounded so well produced. I know Steve Rashid knows how to do record stuff, but I mean, it's just...
Well, Steve said it best. You know, he said, I didn't think this is going to work, but it works. Why does it work?
Well, it's another...
It's because, you know, it's like me being another instrument in there instead of the lead.
Well, it doesn't remind me of it, but it echoes, you know, the famous, you know, Ray Nordstrand doing jazz blues when he would, you know, Ray with that incredible voice of his would be accompanied by a variety of distant instrumentalists. It's bringing those two things together. I just want to play, and before we... You can get, I'm assuming you can get Ground Zero anywhere. Go to Amazon and...
I'm sure. Yeah. But probably best Northwestern, maybe.
Northwestern
University
Press.
It's
published by Triquarterly Books at Northwestern University Press. That's nupress.northwestern.edu. The title of the book is Ground Zero, Mark Kelly Smith. The poems are great. I've heard and read many of them in the book. The book is worth it for the sort of preface by Mark Elveld, editor's introduction, and for Patricia Smith's The Second Throat Poetry Slam. Patty, as I used to call her, Patty Ann, in the day. That was a long time ago. I hope she is well and happy. And again, here's Mark doing, this seems... No offense, but this seems so unadorned now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just Mark Smith reading a poem. It is arguably your most famous poem, wouldn't you say, Mark?
Yeah.
It is called My Old Man's Coat, and it is a deeply layered... Listen to the words.
This is probably the only poem of mine that will ever be remembered after I'm dead. Wearing my father's coat. He has died. I didn't like him, but I wear the coat. I'm wearing the coat of my father, who is dead. I didn't like him, but I wear the coat. A younger man stopping me on the street has asked, "Where'd you get a coat like that?" I answered that was my father's, who's now gone, passed away. The younger man shuts up. It's not that I'm trying now to be proud of my father. I didn't like him. He was a narrow man. It was more of everything he should have done, more of what he should have tried to understand. The coat fit him well. It fits me now. I didn't love him, but I wear the coat. Most of us show off to one another. Fashions of who we are. Sometimes buttoned to the neck. Sometimes overpriced. Sometimes surprising even ourselves in garments we would have never dreamed of wearing. I wear my father's coat. And it seems to me that this is the way the most of us make each other's acquaintance. In coats we have taken to be our own.
Bravo. That is Mark Smith, just a great, great poem. It's a tough poem. It is a very tough poem. It's in here, isn't it?
It's in that book.
Yeah. Well, you will be known, my friend, for much more than that one poem, I'm hoping.
I don't know.
But we all often talked about... you got some nice quotes on the back here, too, from Neil Steinberg. Writes that Smith's words, squeal and crackle, squish and gasp, always reflecting the city of his birth, a city forever in decline, yet forever struggling to rise again, read them with joy and sorrow. Hmm. And Ira Glass, in order to do Ira Glass, I always think I need to imitate his voice, and I can't imitate his voice. What Mark Smith has invented when he created the Poetry Slam was so deeply, intuitively perfect. That is what Mark will likely be known for, and there's no telling what the future of the Poetry Slam itself might be. I don't know, Mark, with all due respect to it, if it's resurrectable, like at the Green Mill, you know what I mean? Want to do it again, or
well,
you know.
Dave offered me, Sunday afternoons,
sure,
monthly, because I'm out of the city now because of the pandemic. I don't have enough gigs to pay for it. So but it was also that I was at the mill the last year. I was starting just getting all the old names back for one more shot.
Yeah.
Because it was a 35-year run.
Yeah, well, it was also kind of a farewell tour, an old-timers game, and many of those old-timers still had game, I'll tell you that. Well, I don't know what the future of it is. It has enriched my life beyond words, and it's not made you a rich man. That's for sure.
Own fault.
Whoever said there's no money in poetry, but it would have, had you tried to do that, and you and I literally, I don't know who Osgood. We went when the great photographer Charles Osgood. We were once talking about the two of us, and he said, "I said, Charlie, who do you think's the worst businessman? Would it be Mark Smith or me?" And he goes, "God, that is a
contest. That's a hard question.
That is the hardest question I've ever had to answer in my life."
You know, for Southeast Side, Mark, I've lived my dream over and over.
Yeah,
I never thought I was not the smartest kid, and so it's no complaints.
No, but they also many people did not realize you. And it was not just that you were not the smartest kid; you were just thinking of something else. You were thinking of other things. And then you got beat up on getting out of that car. But these are all stories. These are stories. Mark met Joe Sikora and Phil Donlin, and I'm going to try to suggest to them that Phil Donlin should play the young Mark. It'd be called the Poetry Slam, the invention of the Poetry Slam, and Phil could play Mark, and he's a good-looking kid, right? Don't you think?
Better looking at me.
You'll be here until, I assume you'll be in Chicago, till Saturday. You're driving back to where you live now.
I'll drive back tomorrow.
Okay.
And then I'll be back next week again.
Saturday to. Yeah. Do you rehearse? Do you guys rehearse?
Oh, yeah, we do rehearse,
okay.
But that's fun. The rehearsals are storytelling time.
I cannot tell you this, and I'm sure you can get it where CDs are sold, The Last Word Quintet live at Studio 5.
And we have another album, After the Rain, that was our second one.
Oh,
beautiful work.
I will get that, too.